just based on the juice and stuff like that.
Based on the Jews?
The Jews. The Jews, like, because a lot of them are, some of them are like minus 200 and that, not a fan of it and stuff like that.
Okay, well, we can, let's start here. Duff, joined by Duff from, where are you exactly, Duff?
I'm in, you know, the center of it all, D.C. Right down the road from Donnie.
The swamp.
Yeah.
You're in the swamp.
Not much water on here. It was all drained, so.
Oh, jeez.
Now we're just gross as shit. Figure it out. We'll get through it.
All right. Well, this is fun. I always love doing this because you are probably the only person who is, like, that I know who likes gambling more than I do. You're a fiend. I mean, you were just telling me before we started that you're betting on Rocky's money line right now or something absurd.
Oh, run line tonight. That means they have to win by more than two or more.
Oh, run line. I thought you said money line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Run line. Well, money line's no fun. That's only like +220, I believe. Run line's +450. That's a lot more fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
because they're probably going to lose anyway, so if they win, might as well take that extra money. But
well, that's why we do what we do. That's why we gamble. It's not so we can win. It's so we can lose, but lose in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, so you lose in a dramatic way, so that way you think, oh, it's, you know, next time I'll get more lucky, so you keep betting and you keep losing.
Yeah. Well, this is I'm so pumped to get into gambling stuff, and the plan right now is that we're going to do something every week. It looks like because week one stuff for the NFL is already been out for so long that we weren't able to do any sort of guest lines this week because these lines are just unavoidable because we're staring at them for months and months and months. So hopefully starting next week, as long as you don't cheat, we will be doing some guess the line stuff, which I always thought was the best way to gauge what a line should be for a game. Because if you see a matchup and you automatically are looking at the number, you sort of get dissuaded. It's one way or the other. But if you just are looking at the matchup without that number next to it, you really can sort of guess like what it should be, what would you take, what you wouldn't take in that same matchup. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
I'm ready. I'm ready for Sunday. I'll be sick of it. You know, once NBA starts, I'll be kind of, you know, done with football. But these next 6 or 7 weekends between fantasy, DraftKings, and gambling, Sundays are back.
Oh, yeah. Well, football is uniquely suited for gambling. I mean, especially week-to-week stuff. NBA, to a lesser extent. I'm betting big during the playoffs in the NBA, but week-to-week in the league, I'm not really betting like I am in the NFL.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's so many games, like the MLB betting, there's so much volume, it's kind of tough to keep up with all of it. And at the same time, if you're on a cold streak, it's a lot easier to lose money a lot faster because, you know, there's 12 games in a night. If you play a lot of them, you go on a cold streak. Opposing the NFL, most on Sundays, at least you got a week to recoup from your losses and figure out how you're going to pay your bookie before you have to do it all again. Because there's no quitting. You never want to quit because if you're on a cold streak, that means the hot streak's coming right around.
Yeah, just like at the blackjack table. Okay, well, because we're not doing guest lines this week, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few over-unders for win totals, which people could still bet probably for like 2 more hours, and that's pretty much it.
Most of them should be good, aside from Patriots, Chiefs, but I think all of them stay till Sunday.
So we're going to do some over-unders. We're not going to go through every single team, but we're going to do ones that we like for each division, and then we're going to do some week one stuff, so... We're going to start in the AFC East. What do you got?
Well, Patriots in at 12.5. That's a very high number once you consider how bad the division is. You think, oh, the guaranteed over. But then you got to think about they sit the last two games or last game, and you can be sitting there at 12-3, maybe 13. I wouldn't lean over. I want to stay away. My one bet is the Bills under 6.5. It's about -130, which it's not bad considering I think as a Bills fan, they're going to tank. And even if they don't try to tank, they're going to be pretty terrible.
Wow.
They actually lost a lot on defense last year. And then trading away Sammy, losing Gillislee, they have no backup running back now. McCoy is solid, but I have a feeling, you know, this is a hot take. By week mid-season, I could see Tyrod Taylor on a different team, maybe the Broncos, because I think they're going to start out cold. So that's my one pick for the
does that hurt? Does it hurt to do that as a Bills fan?
You know, after the Sammy trade and getting all those picks, I've just come to accept it. Because what's the point? The Patriots are so good. There's just no point.
Never got it. Never got why you traded a starting NFL cornerback to my team for a terrible Jordan Matthews and a mid-round pick. I mean, you traded not only a good starting cornerback, but a young starting cornerback, which sort of goes against all things of tanking. And then if you wanted Jordan Matthews on top of it, dude's on an expiring contract. Are you going to pay him now and not Sammy Watkins? Like it seems like there's no direction at all right now.
Yeah, the one thing I would say with Darby is he had a great rookie year, but last year he was pretty meh. But knowing the Bills' luck, I'm sure he'll start on the Eagles and play very well. But I guess McDermott's really about his scheme now and his type of guys, which is why they traded away Ragland as well. And I think in part why they traded Sammy. I'm actually kind of for the Sammy trade, as just because I feel like he was leaving anyways after this year, so it's nice to get something for him. And he just can't stay healthy. And if we're going to be bad, might as well be bad as possible. And EJ Gaines is solid. He's nothing special, but I actually don't mind that trade. But the Darby trade I wasn't a fan of, especially because I hate Jordan Matthews. He's pretty awful.
He take it from me, he stinks. He's an atrocity. So, okay, that's, you know, I hate for you to, you know, hate on yourself like that. Under on the Bills, but it's always funny to bet the overs on horrible, horrible teams, but I mean, the Jets are 3.5. They're going to win 3 or less games this year. I know they're probably trying to lose on purpose, and they just gave away a couple of guys this week, but they're going to win 3 or less games? I don't think so. So I would take the over on 3.5 for the Jets. It sounds ridiculous,
That's brave.
Well, they have the lowest odds out of anybody in the league, or the lowest total. Even the Browns are at 4.5.
Yeah.
I'll take the Jets at 3.5.
That you getting plus on 3.5, or is it, what's the juice on that?
It was even last I checked. It might have changed since, but it was even last I checked. I'll take that all day over 3 wins.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is someone's going to have below 4 wins. I would side Jets, but I could easily see it being someone else.
Yeah, it could easily be, you know, the Browns.
Bears, Niners.
Jags. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that are sort of in that mix. And
I still follow I still like Rufe Andrew Luck, but if he's injured, the Colts could easily be a 3-win team. So.
Right. Well, like you were just saying, there's got to be one team that's in that, you know, 3-4-win range, and it could easily be the Jets, but betting on the Jets to be that one team out of, you know, 4 or 5 other teams that are in the mix for that, I think that's decent value at getting plus 3.5. Plus, I don't really love much in this division.
Yeah, it's largely stay away, but that's my pick.
Yeah. Okay, so AFC West. I'll start this time. I had the Broncos here. The Broncos under 8.5. There's a lot of supposed wins in this division. Broncos 8.5, Chiefs at 9, Raiders at 9.5, and Chargers at 7.5. So Vegas is projecting this division to be pretty good, and I don't think Trevor Siemian is getting you 9 wins. So I don't see why I wouldn't take this Broncos under.
Yep, I agree the Broncos are regress. My pick for the over-under from this division is the Raiders at 9.5. While they may regress, they had 12 wins last year before Derek Carr went down. They lost, I believe, the last two, or at least split them. I don't remember. I think they lost the last two. I think 9.5 is just a bit low for how talented they are on the offensive end. Their defense is probably still suspect with Khalil Mack and some, you know, nice additions. I think they should win the division, but, you know, kind of taking off from that point, I actually, one of my division's picks, I'll just go over it now since we're talking about the division. I like the Chargers at plus 380. I'm big on them this year. I think this is Phillip Rivers' last shot, and I like their, I think their defense to me highly underrated, and I think with both the Broncos, and I think the Chiefs will both regress. Chiefs are at 9. I didn't like the line on them, but I think they'll regress as well. Just, you know, 8-8, sub 500. Yeah, I like the Chargers to win that division, but my more lock of note pick is over 9.5 with the Raiders.
Okay. That's I'm with you on pretty much all that. Love Phil Rivers this year. AFC North. Bengals at 8.5, Browns at 4.5, Ravens 8.5, and Steelers 10.5. What do you like?
Well, as you know, as I've told you, ever since I moved down to the DMV area, I've developed a hatred for the Ravens.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to touch them. I am always intrigued by the Red Rocket, but you know, they just seem average at everything. So 8-8 seems like the direction. So I'm just going to go with the over on the Steelers. From what I've seen, it's about minus 160 from all on the sites I've seen. So it's a bit high, but I think that's the best bet and the safest one out of all of them. I think their talent on the offensive end and like Shazier on the defensive end with James Harrison still alive somehow, I think they'll easily be the best team in the division and the only team to really challenge the Patriots in the AFC.
Yeah, I picked them too. It seems like, I mean, they're the only other AFC team to even have a double-digit over-under, and there's got to be at least two, probably even three teams that are going to have double-digit wins in the AFC, and they're probably the next best team, other than the Patriots. I wouldn't feel comfortable on any of these other bad NFC North teams to bet over-under any of them. I mean, they sort of screwed us with the Bengals and Ravens, just sort of putting them in no man's land, and don't love the Browns at that number either. So, yeah, I took the Steelers over on this one at 10.5. I think it's pretty likely they'll win 12 games.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, and AFC South, Titans, Colts, Texans, and Jags. What a division. What a fun one to watch.
This is a tough one. See, the problem with this division is all of the over-unders, the sides I would side with, the juice is so high, meaning under for the Colts at 7.5 is like -180. The over for the Titans is -180. So there's really no pick I loved, but if I had to choose one, I'd probably go with the Titans over because I am picking them to win the division and I like their team this year. But it's not one of the ones I'm confident just because I don't like the payout structure as far as the how much money you have to lay up to win 100. But, picking when I choose the Titans, I'm not a big Texans guy this year. Their defense will be very good, but they're still with Luck injured. Mariota is easily the best quarterback in the division. I think he'll be able to get two against the Jags, probably two against the Colts, and then split against the Texans. That's 5-1. So then they only need to get four more wins out of the division. So that's my pick, over 8.5.
Yeah, this was a shit show here. I took the Jags under just because I think it's very possible that they're going to be in the mix for top 5-6 pick in the draft, and I almost hate doing those things where you're betting on teams that already get so much action to go under, like the Browns and the Jaguars, and you're making that bet. Usually you'd like to stay away from that, but the Jaguars getting 7 wins does not seem like a likely possibility for me, so I would grab their under. Do you know what their number is at right now?
Where are the odds? Really quick. I think it's 6 and yeah, it's 6.5. I think it's -150, but I'll confirm it, and we can just move on. And I'll confirm it in 2 seconds.
All right. Well, my division, NFC East.
Oh boy. Actually, the under is +130. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Oh wow. Really?
Oh wow. Hello.
We might need to jump on that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a note.
You have three other teams in the division around the same. The thing with the Vegas totals I noticed just the last couple of years being more into it is everyone, they always project way too many teams to be in like that 5-6 wins or 6-7 range, and there's always got to be the 3-4 and 5 win teams. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And I think this year, especially with the disparity in quarterbacks and how dominant the Patriots are going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of low win and high win teams. So teams like the Jaguars with terrible quarterback play, the under seems like the safer play.
Yeah.
But I have to actually jump on that. I was not expecting some plus money on that.
Well, I'm making a note. And then we're going to NFC East, Cowboys at 9.5, Eagles at 8.5, Redskins at 7.5, Giants at 8.5. Duffer, you're going to hurt my feelings right now.
I absolutely am. I actually have 3 picks from this division because, as I was telling you yesterday, I love the Giants over at 8.5. I think the Giants are going to be very good this year. Yes, their O-line has questions, but their defense should be top 5 at least in the league. And they have Eli, and they have great offensive weapons. We'll see at running back, but between Vereen and Paul Perkins, they should be able to get some yardage with how spread out their offense is going to be. So I actually put a lot of, that'd be one of my more confident picks overall. I also really am confident the Eagles get under 8.5. I don't see them being a winning team. I would, I would love to hear you defend it, but 8.5, above 500 seems like a lot for that team. Last year, they weren't very good. I know they won some games, but towards the end of the year, Carson Wentz really regressed. And he could very well improve, but I just don't see it. Relying on the Garrett Blunt and a potentially washed up Alshon Jeffrey in a really tough division. I think they're the worst team in the division. I know that hurts your feelings, but I just don't see them getting to 9 games.
All right, well, here's why I think that you might be overlooking some stuff. So let's just assume that Carson Wentz is the same or maybe like 10% better this year in his second season. I think that's a fair assessment. So last season, the Eagles had 7 wins, so they would need 2 more wins. Last season, there was one game in Detroit where the Eagles were just icing the game, kneeing the ball, and unfortunately, my guy Ryan Matthews fumbled the ball, and Detroit scored, and the game was over. I mean, that is one game that was just literally given away. And the Eagles had a lot of... I'm pulling it up right now. I know for sure they had really bad luck in those really close 7 points or less games that everyone talks about. And I think Bill Barnwell wrote an article on ESPN earlier saying that a lot of those times where teams are close and finishing poorly in those really close games, that doesn't necessarily translate year to year. It's more pretty random than necessarily that old adage of, you know, this team really knows how to finish, or like sort of those gut things that people normally think about. So here it is. So the Eagles 1-8 in games decided by less than a touchdown. I mean, if you give them two more, even if it's not like 500 on that, they get denied easily. They did add some guys. They brought in Alshon Jeffrey. I think LeGarrette Blount, everyone is way too high on him. But the Eagles did get better. Some progression to the mean, if that's a thing, for Fletcher Cox this year, our best defender. Brandon Graham might lead the league in sacks this year. I really think that, I'm not saying that they're going to win 9-10 games, but that's why they're not going to win 7 right there.
I'm looking at their schedule. I see them as a 6-win team. Sorry, but I hope, you know, for your sake, you like to have a little more positive mindset than as a Bills fan who I just, you know, low as expectations as possible. But they can get there. But my biggest thing is, do you see them going more than 3-3 in the division? You know, I'd be tough to sweep any of these teams.
Well, the Eagles do crush the Giants. The Giants never beat the Eagles, so I feel good in that. But contrarily, the Eagles never beat the Redskins, and them splitting with the Cowboys, I think, is very possible. They actually don't play the Cowboys during the Zeke suspension time, but we don't actually know when that's going to be, so that's sort of up in the air, too.
I don't think that's that big of a deal when it comes to the Cowboys. Maybe a half a point, but I think it really doesn't make that good a deal. But that does suck that you don't get him without Zeke, because, you know, maybe a bit, but I think people are overblowing it. Just looking at their schedule, say they go 3-3 in the division, they get the 49ers, Rams, and Bears. So, ideally they win all three of those, so that's 6. And then you got to get 3 more between at Chiefs, at Chargers, Cardinals, at Panthers, Broncos, at Seahawks, and a home against the Raiders. So that's a pretty tough schedule. So
Okay. Here's...
But
here's my combat to that. Now, I'm just going off the dome here, but I know that, you know, okay, so if you're worried about the schedule, let's assume that they go 3-3 in the division. I think that's probably fair. Last year, they beat, off the top of my head, 4 playoff teams. They beat the Giants, they beat the Cowboys, they crushed the Atlanta Falcons, and they crushed the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not really sure that, you know, them necessarily having a harder schedule, which it's easier this year because they finished third or fourth in the division last year. I don't think that's too much of a big deal, but we are spending way too much time on my team, so
yeah, we got to move.
We could do this all day. So you like the Eagles under? I actually like the Eagles over. So there we go. We can move on.
And Giants, I like the Giants over more, but I just had to get your Eagles in there.
So. Yeah. Okay. NFC West: Cardinals 8.5, Rams 5.5, Niners 4.5, and Seahawks 10.5.
This was a tough one. I decided to go with under for the Niners. You know, they won 2 games last year, and I don't see how adding Kyle Shanahan and no new quarterback, they're playing Brian Hoyer, I don't see how they all of a sudden they get up to 5 wins. Or is it, it's 5.5, right? Or is it 4.5?
4.5, actually, yeah.
4.5. I still don't see 5 wins in there. I think they're going to be the worst team in the division pretty easily. And, I mean, their defense should be young, but I don't see no quarterback, no offensive weapons. Carlos Hyde I like in fantasy this year, but I don't see him making a huge difference when it comes to win totals. So that'd be my pick on the under. But
well, this is good. I like that we have 2 direct conflicts on the over-unders. We like different sides on the Eagles, and we like different sides on the Niners. I actually like the over on the Niners, just because I'm not convinced that they're the last place team in that division. I think it's very possible that the Rams could fall, just because I watched Jared Goff play quarterback last year, and I've actually seen some things from Brian Hoyer. And like you were just saying, I like Carlos Hyde too. I'm not convinced that you know, the Niners defense isn't getting better, and I do like Shanahan. I would begrudgingly take the over at, you know, 4.5, but that's mostly because I don't feel great about anything in the division. Mm-hmm. So this is good. We're head to head. I like this. I'm gonna make a note. We're gonna revisit this later. NFC North.
My second choice was Seattle, but because they're with that Sheldon Richardson trade. I mean,
yeah, tough. Tough, but, yeah, I'm not gonna want to play them.
The line's just, and they have Fat Eddie, who I have a vendetta against, but that's more of a personal thing. Anyway.
NFC North, what do you got?
The Vikings over. I really like this Vikings team. They won 10 games last year. That was with a shit offensive line, Sam Bradford, and no real run game. They were throwing out Jerick McKinnon, Asiata, and just some terrible names. And Jerick McKinnon's a fine pass catcher back, but I really like their team this year. Their defense is still going to be very good. I remember at the beginning of the year, they were starting out 6-1. They were just dominating teams at home. So they should be able to be good at home again. And then, assuming they get any better O-line play, they are starting five new offensive linemen. But I do like their chances of making the playoffs and going above 500. And I actually like them as another long shot to win the division at plus 380 because the Packers are pretty heavy favorites. The last year is a game difference. And I think this year it's going to be pretty close as well. But since Packers have Rodgers, they tend to get the much better, you know, much higher odds to win the division.
Yeah, everyone loves the Packers. Everyone bets on them. So assuming that, let's for a second just assume that the Packers are going to win the division and that the Bears are going to finish fourth. These two over-unders for the Vikings and the Lions, Vikings 8.5, Lions 7.5, one of those two is going to go under. So you are saying by choosing the Vikings over that the Lions are going to finish with 7 or less wins?
Oh, correct. The juice is too high. I think the Lions are by a much worse team than the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did. I took the Lions under here. So I guess we're agreeing in a different way. So this is the one that I actually didn't even pick. The NFC South, just because I have no clue what to make of this. I feel like I'm looking at these numbers here, 9.5 for the Falcons, 9 for the Panthers, 8.5 for the Bucks and Saints. That's a lot of wins. That's more wins than anybody. It's got even more than the NFC East.
Yeah. So for me, I just picked on based on the fact that the Panthers won 15 games 2 years ago. So I went with the over at minus 120 over 9. It was a tough one. I could easily see a division of 10-6, 10-6, 9-7, and 7-9, something like that. They're all pretty quality teams with a lot of good qualities, and you know, some all of them obviously have flaws. I just have no clue on the Saints. I think they should be bad, but you never know with Drew Brees. But I would lean the under on them. But my pick would be the over with the Panthers.
Yeah, this is tough. I would have said the Falcons under at 9.5 if I had to choose one, just because that post Super Bowl season tends to have a big effect on teams. But this might be the best division in football. Maybe not, probably right there with NFC East right now. But
yep.
This is a lot of wins, and none of these teams are bad. Like, I would be shocked, like you were just saying, if really any of these teams had less than 8 wins or 7 wins.
Yeah, I think inevitably one of them, either via injury or just has to be below 500, and I would choose Saints. But again, they have Drew Brees, and they're pretty good home field. And I guess their defense has improved, but I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah, I was tempted to choose the Bucks over just because I have a Hard Knocks hard on.
Said usually the teams that are on Hard Knocks do pretty bad, don't they?
Yeah, I'm just saying it gets like teams that are on Hard Knocks get overrated because everyone sees like the inside stuff and like, oh, well, maybe Jared McCoy will lead the league in sacks and Jameis will throw for 5,000 yards. Like, it sort of inflates their value in a lot of people's head and definitely in my head because it influences all of my fantasy picks.
Classic. Yeah.
So that's it. Like, so you have, you have the Panthers over.
Correct. Over nine. A nice even. So
okay. All right. Well, that's it. We got all the divisions done. I made a mark of everything so we can revisit this later so we can make fun of ourselves for getting things so horribly wrong.
If I remember correctly, last year I did pretty awful. So I believe I had the over on the Jets. I was pretty sick.
Ooh. Well, hopefully that over hits this year. All right. Well, let's do some week one. I love some of these lines. So right now I got 3 games that I am absolutely in love with. And then if we want to talk some parlays at the end, what do you have right now? Like give me one so far.
Why don't we just bounce back and forth pick to pick? I'll go first. I really like the Cardinals at the Lions. It's up to 2.5. It was 1 earlier. As long as it stays below 3, I'm pretty happy with it. I think the Lions are a lot worse this year, and I like Cardinals indoors. They get, you know, it's on the road, but they get a chance to play indoors. That's one of my top 3 picks this week one. I think Lions defense should be pretty bad, and they're still handing the ball for Amir Abdullah, Eric Ebron, Golden Tate. I'm just not a fan, man. I really like the Cardinals, minus 2.5.
I don't really know what to make the Cardinals this year. It feels like they're almost, they have like some post hype like buzz right now. Like everyone was so down on them last year, and the hate might have gone too far.
Yeah,
they might be better than people are giving them credit for. That's interesting. It's not one of the ones that I had. And I hate to do this again to you, but the Jets this week.
Oh, no.
I'm gobbling up 9 points against the Bills. I'll take 9.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Should the Bills be favored 9 points over anybody?
I mean, home opener, there should be some energy, but the screams, Bills are up, 15, 16 points, or, let's say 15 points, and just a random garbage time touchdown.
Well, should a team that's, the Bills, I mean, we just talked about having an over-under at 6.5. Should they be favored 9 points over any team right now? I don't think so. So I'll grab those 9 points. Thank you very much.
I mean, I don't blame you at all.
I mean, you could make the argument for maybe not necessarily a home game just because they're both in New York, but I don't really think that has too much to do with it.
Bills Mafia comes out. Bills Mafia. Don't you disrespect them. That's one thing we got.
All right, what else? What's your number two?
Chargers +3 at the Broncos. I'm probably going to take money line out, right? But I'll take the 3 points right now at even. It was 3.5. We'll see if it bounces back up. But you can also, I'd probably buy the 3.5 point to get up to 3.5. And it would still give you the same odds as picking any other game at -110. So yeah, Chargers +3.5, buying the hook.
That was one of the games that. In Denver. Oh, right. That was one of the games that I had checked, but I didn't end up picking. I was going to take the Chargers too, so I'm right there with you. I don't like the quarterback for the Broncos. He stinks, right? We know that he stinks, and we know that Phillip Rivers is good, so we'll take those 3 points on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Week one seems like the spot of the season where you definitely want to lean on the dogs. Just because we know so much less now than we know at any other point in the season. Exactly. So take the points. All right, so I'm with you. Second one that I had was Giants and Cowboys. I liked, and this is a theme, it seems like, for both of us right now. I like the Giants with the 4.
There it is. Love it.
I'm not sure that the Cowboys are that much better than the Giants, if at all. And like you were just saying, I mean, what is Zeke worth? A half a point at best? He's not worth more than a point to me, even though that's what the line has moved. I'll gobble up. I'll put these 4 points on the line and. Exactly. I'll take the Giants all day.
4 points, you still, you get that field goal, or you get the quick, it's a 4, so you get a push, but say, their Giants have a field goal, win a lead touchdown, at least you get the push, so.
Yeah.
I like that 4 a lot. They always keep it close. It's not going to be a blowout. The Giants defense, they owned them last year, and I think they'll do the same this year. Not own them, but it'll be close, and and at the end, it's a toss-up field goal game. You get the 4, why not?
Was that one of the games that you had?
Not one of my top 3, but if we were extending out to 5, I'll probably pick them Sunday night.
Right. Well, I'm
gonna get on way too many games this weekend.
that's probably true, knowing you. The thing that does cause me a little bit of concern is not only the fact that Zeke probably is playing, or is officially not playing, but that Odell might not play.
Yeah, that's
again,
big.
I'm not sure how much he's worth on his own, but the fact that both of those things are happening at the same time does make me a little nervous.
If Odell doesn't play, I'll probably avoid taking the pick just because I think he means a lot more to the offense than Zeke does.
Let me ask you this. So if the Giants officially rule out Odell on Saturday night, what does this number have to go to for you to bet the Giants? Because after 4, these numbers don't really matter, but does it have to go to 6?
I'd probably just stay away from it.
Yeah.
But if I would still take the Giants plus the points, I would guess they would bump up to 4.5. And by the time the game starts, they'd be at 5. I just wouldn't feel great about it. Because I still like the Giants defense a lot. And I think, Dak did really well last year, but I think the people are overhyping him a bit. He's still a second year guy. He's a good game manager, but without Zeke there, I don't know. It'd be tough. If Odell's playing, I'm taking the Giants for sure. But without him, it makes it really tough to back the Giants just because how big of a party is on their offense.
Right. Well, what else you got? What's your other game?
So this is third one's a tough one. Yeah, I'm kind of running through it right now. I'm actually going to change it up, and I liked it. Last week it was a point higher, but I'm actually going to go with the total. I'm going to go the under 39.5 in the Texans-Jaguars game. Okay. And I think the Jaguars have an incredibly underrated defense, and then as you know, the Texans also have also a very good defense. So what I'm probably going to end up doing, if this counts as a third pick, I'm actually going to tease the under and the Jaguars +5.5.
Wow.
Now, I'm also going to take the money line. Unfortunately, the reasoning is because of the hurricane. Like you mentioned before, I bet baseball. The Astros coming off the hurricane they were terrible. And I just think it's going to mess with the players a lot. Who knows how big of a home crowd they're going to get. So actually, my third pick is a tease of the Jaguars +5.5 and under 39.5 for that game.
Okay. Wow. Was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Expecting that. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Although there's that thing that people always talk about when big things happen to cities, natural disasters, whatnot, it can really sort of rally people and they can play better like we saw with the Saints a couple years ago, but it could also backfire and just really sink you as a team and your emotions get caught up and you're just really not ready to play because you have so many things going on around you. It's hard to focus on the game. So it's really impossible to figure out which team we're going to see.
Yeah, I agree. And then just the third, since you the Giants probably wasn't, was one of the picks I was considering. Just a thing to watch out for, a really fishy line I see is the 49ers game. It's at +5.5. I think it opened at 7 and it's going down, but I think the public's on the Panthers. That's a fishy one.
Hmm.
That's one I'm staying away from. It scares me. I think the Panthers will win, but you can easily see the 49ers for some reason hanging tough, and just watch out. Don't fall for the trap and tease the Panthers.
Yeah.
That's a fishy line.
That's a good idea there. My third one was the Ravens at Bengals. I'll take the Ravens on the road. I'll take the 3 points. Thank you very much. I mean, it's sort of the same sort of idea. We don't really know too much about these teams. I'll take the team that seems to be about the same as the home team, and I'll grab the points.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, I hate the Ravens, so hopefully they'll lose, but I like that pick. The Ravens' defense is going to be outstanding this year. We'll see with Flacco. That's a big thing. I'm just looking over it. So, yeah, the Steelers are like 9 is a lot, but it feels like it's going to cover, but we'll see. And then Packers, Seahawks will be fun, but I can't decide on that one either.
Well, is there – I mean, now that the Chiefs-Pats game is down to 8, I mean, is there a two-teamer that we can do here? I know you did that for the Jags earlier, but do you have another one? Like, who else could we bring in on this? I mean, I like the Pats at home. I would tease that down to 2 all day, but what's our second team?
So I would probably do a 3-team 7-pointer.
So dangerous.
It is dangerous. But so mine would be the Pats, the Steelers, and I know I would probably go Bills. So you get Pats -1.5. Bills -1.5 and Steelers -2. That'd be my pick.
I mean, those are our options here. I like it's either Pats, the Steelers. Although I will say another one that we could think about. This is not really a notable game that you would normally tease, but what if we did the Pats and we did the Chargers?
Yeah,
and we moved that +3 to 9 just because there's. I mean, we both think that A, the Chargers are going to win this game. But B, do you really think that Trevor Siemian is going to get this game to a double-digit
7-point, and you get to 10, and even 10? I think that's fantastic.
You want? Could that be it? You want to do that?
I might do this. So Chargers, Patriots, and do we want Steelers or Bills? I know you picked the Jets plus. So.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't touch that Bills game.
All right, so let's do Steelers. So let's. I'm going to put this in right now, live. You guys, hold on to your seats. Put it in right now. So we're gonna get the Pats at 1.5.
Oh, it's so juicy.
The Steelers at 2 and the Chargers at 10. I'd like to buy an additional point, but we'll see. We'll see if that's allowed. Some sites are different than others. Not that we're using offshore sites, of course.
Gambling is illegal. We only do this for fun with fake money. Fun,
not for mortgage payments or anything like that.
No, I've never paid rent
fun.
With gambling money. Absolutely not.
And if I were, I'd probably just win all the time. So I wouldn't want to tear down the casino.
Well, this is good. I mean, a live pod bet. I think a couple of weeks ago, Chris actually changed his Twitter handle live on the pod. So, I mean, we've really only done some crazy things.
Here. Only big things. So, yeah, looks like we're gotten So this site, the lines are a bit different. They're the Steelers are at 9.5 and the Patriots are at 9. So 7-point teaser, we're getting Steelers -2.5. So you still get the field goal. Chargers +10.5 and Patriots -2 at +135.
Sexy. I like it. I feel good about it.
All right, that's our teaser for the week. We'll put that in.
Put it in. That might be easy money. I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, that's what we think, but we're going to come back 0-3. There's no way the Patriots lose tonight.
No. And if I lose to Trevor Siemian by double-digit points, I deserve to lose because that's just an atrocity.
All right, yeah, so those are our picks for this week. I actually have some future bets, just some random ones, some MVP, Super Bowl, if you want me to run through them real quick.
Yeah, give me someone because we've been going for a little bit right now, but give me your faves.
So I'll start with my MVP. I like Cam at 30-1, Cam Newton. He two years ago, he actually won the MVP, and I think people are underrating him now.
Oh.
Russell Wilson at 10-1, and Le'Veon Bell at 25-1. Those are my three picks.
That's interesting. Well, you know what?
That's no fun.
I had some research done last night on the MVP stuff, so I'll give it to you real quick. So last 10 MVPs, all quarterbacks except one Adrian Peterson MVP year, and that was the year that he had over 2,000 rushing yards.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, all quarterbacks, and I don't see any reason why it would be a running back this year. But every year for the last 10 years, I tallied up their wins, and I did an average about what normally teams finish with as wins for the guy who wins the MVP. The average number of wins for those last 10 MVPs have been over 13.
Oh, wow.
So let me just say this. The number of teams that even have double-digit over-unders, not 13, but even double-digit, the Pats, the Packers, the Steelers, and the Seahawks.
Yep.
So I think that, we're choosing from those teams, but with risk of choosing a guy like Brady who's at plus 330 or Rodgers at 4-1, who's a little sexier, Big Ben at 1,600 or Russell Wilson at 800, like you just said, I think Russell Wilson might be our pick here.
I'm still going to lay some juice on Cam at 31 because they, you know, if they get, they could get up to 12 wins maybe on a good year. Just because 31 for a former MVP, that's still in his prime.
Yeah,
I think Russell Wilson's a pick because Big Ben can't stay healthy, and you know they should dominate the NFC West, so they should be able to put up some big numbers. So I agree. Let's Russell Wilson. Let's make that our official pick.
8-1. I mean, the only thing I would even mess around with, other than Russell Wilson. I mean, Derek Carr, I guess you might be able to talk me into that at 11-1.
That's
but
not bad.
It's okay. Who would I be more shocked with throwing for, you know, 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns between Wilson and Carr? I mean, that's an interesting debate. But you're not quite as – I mean, you're pretty high in the Raiders this year.
Yeah, but I just don't think – I think he – it's tough. I think they run the ball a bit more with Marshawn. So, I mean, he may have better passing yards, but I think Wilson will have the rushing game. Yeah. And Jimmy Graham, I think, will have a bigger year. The offensive line's a bit better. I think that's our pick, 10-1, because it is.
Well, Wilson's at 8-1. Wilson's at 8-1.
Oh, I got him. I see him at 10 in one of my sets.
Oh, really?
So I got value on him. That's good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I have some offensive rookie of the year. Like you mentioned, the MVP. Offensive rookie of the year is largely usually quarterback. So I like myself some Deshaun Kizer at 21. He's starting right from the get-go.
Okay.
Tom Watson's 15-1, but he's not even starting. So yeah. I don't understand the point of that. And I wasn't impressed with him in preseason.
That's a fool's bet.
Kizer at 20-1. And then give me some Mitch Trubisky at 30-1. I think he starts after week three when Glennon's terrible. You're drafted in that high. You trade all those assets. Get him up there.
Does it have to be a quarterback for this? I mean, who won it last year? Did Dak win it or did Zeke win it?
I think Zeke won it. But like largely overall, like it's usually quarterbacks makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, well, speaking of the running backs, I like more favorite McCaffrey at 5-1.
McCaffrey at 5-1.
It was Gurley in 2018 and then Dak in 2017. So, but yeah, so those are my top three. I don't know if you have any comments on that.
I like all that. Trubisky at 30-1 is juicy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to play at some, you know, so.
Of which, this is another one of my favorite bets. Mitchell Trubisky, over 1.5 starts, minus 190. That seems like an easy bet.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Unless Glennon wins, like, win an MVP, why would he not start 2 starts? I mean, the juice is high, but for something like that, it seems like a guarantee.
Wow. What's the number on that?
Minus 190, 1.5 starts.
Whew, minus 190, I might have to jump that.
Yeah, that's seems a bit too easy. I don't know. Yeah. He must not start in week one, but obviously he's not. So, and just to wrap it up, some couple more miscellaneous ones. Any team to go 0-16, this is basically the Jets. I see it at plus 1,300. I've also seen it plus 1,000. I like that because the Jets are pretty terrible. They'll probably get a couple wins, and hopefully for your sake, more than a couple.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully I like that exactly bet. 4.
And then off the Giants over, I'm big on the Giants. I like the Giants at 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think that's some pretty good odds for a team that I think will be pretty good with that really good defense, and they got the Super Bowl winning quarterback, Odell Beckham. I think those are really high odds. And yeah, those are pretty much all my picks.
Well, here's what I like. I like
long shots.
I like the Giants in that spot just because teams that are in that 8-10 win range are always going to have good odds. But the best part about that is the ability to hedge in the playoffs. Like if you're pretty confident, otherworldly, that the Giants are going to make the playoffs, and then if you know they make it to round 2 or something like that, and they're playing against you know the Seahawks or somebody, hedging that bet is I'm a big fan. I used to do that all the time with the Raptors. I used to get the Raptors at like plus 1,500 right before a couple weeks before the Eastern Conference playoffs started. And then once they played the Cavaliers, I would just bet huge money on the Cavaliers, and I could not lose.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
So
yeah, so we got NFL at night, finally, and then Sunday it's a real big time.
Well, we're going to have some rooting interest tonight.
Yeah, tonight's game may be probably a clunker, unfortunately. But that said, I'm probably going Chiefs and the points. I'm going to regret it instantly, but I can't, you know, public made so much money on the Patriots last year. They got to come back down to earth at some point, and I'll happily drain my wallet eating my own words.
Well, we got the Chiefs I think we both would like the Chiefs tonight. Hopefully, if we, you know, if we could have got that at 9. But our Pats tease. I feel good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so worst case scenario, we got that. Yeah. Tonight's just a little bet to make myself interested before it gets, you know, blowout in the third. Yeah. I would guess they keep it close in the first half, the Chiefs do. Then third quarter really opens up. So that could be a look out for maybe a third quarter line. I'm going to guess it's going to be like -130, Patriots -0.5. That's something I'm interested in. But I'll do probably Chiefs +9 and then Pats third quarter.
Okay.
Those are my two for tonight.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm so excited for games to actually be on.
I am too.
I like college football, but I'm not in love with college football.
I still like college football because every time I bet an under, it looks really good in the first half, and then all of a sudden defenses just fall over and just let people walk in the end zone.
Man, you're like the only guy that I know who bets on these unders all the time. Watching a game when you're rooting for the under is just terrible. The worst.
Oh, it's absolutely awful. I love doing it to myself, though. It's great.
All right, bud. Well,
that's the reason why they're the better thing in the long run. No public wants to bet the under. The reason that they always bet the over, and then they're not just going to let the over hit all the time. The under is a smarter play if you can be patient.
That's true.
But we don't have that type of patience, so I'll just do a bunch of parlays instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this was good. I think, what time do you want to do this next week?
Depends. My schedule, I'm going to be on the road next week.
Okay.
So maybe a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night.
Okay.
That's probably the best nights for me.
All right.
So
we'll talk about it. This was fun. I look forward to doing this every week. What I'll probably end up doing is I'll post the stuff, the pics that we have on Twitter, and I will also probably put them in the show notes or something on iTunes so people can
good. I'll give you that. I haven't subscribed yet.
Oh, got to get on that. We every subscriber counts. Little review, rate and review, always counts. We have more listeners than you might think.
I'll shoot it that retweet, of course, to get some people out there.
All right, bud. Well, this was good. I look forward to doing this every week, and thanks for chatting.
Yep, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, later.
Hockey's run line. Lock it in tonight.